but I can see where true wisdom is. Not worthless wisdom. Though the world calls it foolish, I see what it truly is. It's the grace of God. That he would save us not based on our own wisdom, but on his wisdom.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Joel, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we consider the difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. What's the difference? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Joel sharing the message of the cross in Faith-Filled Fools. Thanks for listening.
Our lesson today comes from 1 Corinthians. The letter to the Corinthians was written to Christians in the city of Corinth, and they had a real problem. They had divisions in their churches. And one of the divisions was that some of the members said, oh, we follow Paul. And other members said, no, we follow Apollos. And other people said that they followed Peter or Christ. And what was the heart of the problem is people were relying on their own intellect, their own wisdom, their own preferences in their pastor, because that's human nature, to rely on yourself and identify what is the wisest, what is it that gives you the greatest advantage. And it's a dangerous thought, it's a dangerous human nature idea to rely on yourself using wisdom that all of us have to be aware of. And so we read this lesson from 1 Corinthians to identify the sin that is relying on yourself and then changing our souls to rely on God and his wisdom. So the lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Do you agree with what God's saying here? The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Is the message of the cross foolishness? The world says so. Think about what the world says about religion. There's a famous philosopher, Karl Marx. He said that religion is the opiate of the masses, the people. What does he mean by that? That the higher-ups use religion to keep people pacified, to keep people feeling good, to make them think that everything is okay. And so really, religion is a weakness. Do you think the message of the cross is foolish? Well, the world sure thinks so. I don't recommend this because it will really frustrate you. But if you go online and just look at some of the comments that atheists make about religion, they frustrate you. One of them that I found said this: nothing fools you better than the lie that you tell yourself. That religion is this lie that you convince yourself to believe, to think that everything is okay. To the world, the message of the cross, the message of God, it seems foolish. Can I be honest? Really easy to understand why they would think that. I mean, the world being created in 6 days, the whole universe being created in 6 days, that's hard to believe. Some God, higher entity, big, mighty father figure who you rely on and trust in and you go all in on? I mean, have you ever seen him? It's kind of scary when you think about it that, I mean, honestly, sometimes if you think of it from a logical perspective and from the perspective of the world, sometimes it seems foolish. This wisdom of God, the message of the cross, it can seem foolish. But do you know what real wisdom is? It's what the world calls wisdom. Science and experiments and experience. Because these things are based on facts, right? You take science, and that is finding answers based on facts and proof and having cold, hard evidence that these things are real and putting your faith in this science to give you wisdom so that you can gain an advantage and rely on yourself. The same is true with experiences. As you go through life and you have experiences, I mean, think of what experiences have given us. You get professional athletes and musicians and politicians and leaders who have learned from their experience. We call that book smarts or street smarts, right? And that's real wisdom, because these things are based on facts and you can rely on them and know that they are true. And as we look at as Christians at what real wisdom is, we go, you know what? Get where that's coming from. Especially since that's natural inside of us. But it's interesting to me what God said about earthly wisdom. It was in verse 19 and 20. It said, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where's the wise person? Where's the teacher of the law? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Think about what God is saying here. Yes, worldly wisdom is a wonderful thing that God has given to us, that he allows us to rule over creation, to make our lives better here on earth. The sciences that we have, we have airplanes flying in the sky, we have vaccines coming out for COVID, we understand what's going on with the human mind. Look at what the human world has done, created cities and just amazing, amazing things. But God says that he will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Where is the philosopher? Where is the wise person? Why does he say that? Because all of the wisdom that you can gain for yourself, all of the experiences that you can gain for yourself to give you wisdom, all of that is worthless when a person takes their last breath. You can be the smartest person in the world, but how is that going to help you when you get terminal cancer? Maybe a few extra months, but you can't avoid death. You could have all the experience and the wisdom in the world, but how does that help you when a tragedy hits and you're totally out of control? See, wisdom from a worldly point of view is valuable up until the end, when it becomes worthless. And so really, the wisdom of the world is worthless. The wisdom of the world is actually foolish. Instead, we rely on God's wisdom. Which, to be honest, I am so thankful that God tells us that we are saved relying on God's wisdom. Because think about this. Why hasn't the smartest people in the world throughout all of time ever figured out God's plan of salvation? If salvation could come to human beings through human wisdom, why hasn't anyone figured it out yet? It's because it's impossible. God has said it was his own pleasure to make the wisdom of the world foolish and to save people using what the world would call foolish. And I'm so thankful for that, because what does that mean? You don't have to be the smartest person in the world to discover this wisdom on your own to save yourself. Instead, God saves all through his own wisdom. That means that you don't have to be a PhD or a college graduate to be saved. It means that you can be smart or dumb and you are saved through the message of salvation. It means that you can have it all together up there, or you could have severe mental disabilities or psychological disorders and be saved. It means that the person who is conscious and there and aware, but also the person who has dementia or is in a coma, they're saved through the message of the cross. It means that the adult and the baby are saved, which I'm so thankful for, because it's not based on human wisdom, because I'm not the smartest person in the world. But I can see where true wisdom is. Not worthless wisdom. Though the world calls it foolish, I see what it truly is. It's the grace of God. That he would save us, not based on our own wisdom, but on his wisdom. That he would save us based on the wisdom of the message of the cross. Have you seen that scene in the movies? It's a great one. It's popular. I feel like I've seen it in different movies, but in different ways. It creates conflict instantly, right? It's that moment where the main character, she gets past the guards and she goes into like the control center, and she's listening over to the radio, and they say, all right, now cut the red wire, okay, good, and now make sure that you don't go, and the most important information's cut out. Now, sometimes it causes great drama, and other times it's like funny, where someone's saying, the key to life is, don't get it. So then there's conflict. Well, I don't want to do that for any of you guys today. I don't want to say that true wisdom comes from God and it's the wisdom that gives us eternal life, and not share with you what that wisdom is, that message of the cross. And so I want to make it crystal clear what the wisdom of God is that we rely on. The world was in trouble because of sin. Every single person in the world, including me, including you, are a sinner. And that sin is incredibly dangerous and damaging. That sin separates us from God. And there's no way that we could get to God because we are sinful. We could try to be the best human beings we could possibly be and do as much good as we can to get to God, but we'd still fall short because we're sinful. Babies are born sinful, which means every single human being, no matter how good they are, from the beginning of time to the end of the time, are separated from God because of sin. But God figured out a way. God, in his love and his mercy, he sent his son, Jesus. And Jesus came into the world, and he lived a perfect life. He had no sin. But then God took all of the sin of the world, including yours and including mine, and he put it on his son. He put the sin of the world on his son and then punished his son on the cross to take away all of your sin. That means that you and I are good with God because we have no sin. Our sin has been taken away. And so we will have eternal life with him. This is the message of the cross. This is the wisdom of God. The beauty of this wisdom is that you don't have to rely on yourself for your salvation, but rather you rely on God to give you eternal life. Now I'm going to share with you what really scares me as a pastor. This message of the cross and the wisdom of God, it goes against human nature. Humans like to rely on themselves to find wisdom, to gain an advantage through science or experiments, through facts, through knowledge. And that's true with Christians. The devil loves to tempt Christians to say, thank you, God, for your wisdom. I rely on you. But then I hear, yeah, but I think. And that's so dangerous because to rely on yourself for your salvation will bring you up short. Instead, you want to rely on God. See, this was a problem for the Corinthians They said, we trust in God, but I'm going to use my wisdom to pick who I want to be my pastor. The same was true for the Greeks and the Jews. What did Paul say? Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's fascinating to me. Paul is calling out everyone. He said to the Jews, these were the people of God, that the message of the cross was a stumbling block. It was a scandal, is the word that's used in the Greek there. And then to the Gentiles, or literally everyone else, the message of the cross is foolishness, or moronic is the word in the Greek there. Think about what that's saying. The message of the cross, that Jesus came and died on the cross and took away all of your sins, to the religious person, it's a stumbling block. It's a scandal, because what's that doing is it's taking the control out of your hands. See, the Jews, they loved to be able to do all the ceremonies and the rules that made them people of God. And they wanted to continue to contribute to their salvation. But again, when you contribute, when you rely on yourself, you will always fall up short. And to the Gentiles, the Greeks at the time, they relied on philosophy and logic and being able to comprehend things in their minds. And so the message of the cross just doesn't make sense, that a God would not demand us to pay for our own sin, that he would send his son, who is true God and true man, to take away our sin. It's moronic. It doesn't make sense. It goes against human nature. And that's what scares me. Because if those things were happening then, the same thing's happening now. And it can happen in this church. And it can happen to you. And so I'm warning you to watch out. Don't let yourself rely on yourself for your salvation, because you will always come up short. Because nobody can discover their own salvation through wisdom or the wisdom of the world. But rather just rely on God. Let him take care of your salvation. This is the message of the cross. He sent his son to take away your sin. He gives you faith. He called you. And when we can rely on God, then we can know that our salvation is secure because of the way God describes himself. This is the last verse that we read today. God said, "For the message of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." I love the way God describes himself here. He uses a hyperbole. It's an extreme comparison to make a point. So imagine this. Imagine if I compared the wisest thought to the wisest thought of, like, I don't know, Albert Einstein. The wisest thought of my 2-year-old compared to Albert Einstein, it is not even close. It's a ridiculous comparison. Well, God is saying that the wisest thought that all of humanity could put together doesn't even come close to the most foolish thought of God. That's how much smarter God is than the rest of humanity. It would be foolish for me to compare the strength, the strongest feat of strength that my 2-year-old can do, compared to my sister's boyfriend, DJ. He like lifts 200-pound kegs up and over bars for competitions for the fun of it. He's extremely strong. If I compare my 2-year-old to DJ, like, the comparison's not even close. And yet, what's God saying here? The most powerful feat of human beings, the most powerful thing that they can do together or individually, doesn't even come close to the weakest thing of God. That's how much powerful God is. And so when we let go of relying on ourselves for our salvation and trusting God, understand who you're giving over to. Understand who you're putting your faith in. You're putting your faith in the Almighty God, whose wisdom goes far beyond our understanding, whose power is unimaginable, who's all-powerful. This is the God in whom you rely on. True wisdom that lasts wisdom that gives you salvation is not the wisdom that relies on self, but it's the wisdom that relies on God. The world calls it foolish, but it's the wisdom that gives you eternal life. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.